The work in radiation detection is about developing a new class of sensors. Sensors that can detect X-rays and gamma rays with high sensitivity, that can be made very compact in size, and that have the ability to identify the isotopes that are responsible for the source of that radiation.
And so what is the practical application of something like that?
Well, the practical applications are numerous. In the field of national security, it gives us a capability to identify isotopes in the field with small, compact instruments that don't need to be operated at super low temperatures, which is the case for much of the existing technology. Outside of the area of national security, it's important in the area of nuclear medicine. And this gives us the capability to be able to look deep inside of the body, to be able to detect abnormalities that we may not see with other imaging modalities.
So this device has medical implications, homeland security implications, and could actually, I guess, have environmental implications too. It seems like it's one thing that has so many different applications.
Yes, it does have those three application areas, but we can expand even beyond that. It's important for a variety of applications in the area of science, understanding events from space through X-ray astronomy. And so it's very interesting for using this for things like studying gamma ray burst, some of the most energetic and relativistic events that we know about, and certainly one of the most intriguing astrophysical puzzles of modern times. So it also impinges very much on our ability to make new measurements in the environment in a number of bodies, whether it is the bodies that could be cars or rail cars, or celestial bodies, or the human body, to be able to look inside and gather new information, more precise information about the environment.
And we're speaking with Ralph James. He's the group leader for radiation detection R&D and senior scientist at Brookhaven National Laboratory. That's all part of National Nuclear Security Administration funding. So how did this get to the intention of this? Tell us about the contest and how they found out about your work.
It's been quite a bit of information generated in the past year about this particular instrument, an instrument that's designed for early diagnosis of prostate cancer. There have been other awards, other groups that have recognized this invention, and Frost and Sullivan, in a way that's consistent with their own mechanism for recognizing outstanding innovations, identified this as a promising technology, and to our surprise and our great pleasure, we were recognized through their surveys as an innovation that would be making a difference in terms of healthcare, with a focus on prostate cancer, but also in terms of its high potential in terms of marketing and the commercialization part.
I wanted to get into that if I could. Will it be made commercially available? What sort of timeline are we looking at, or is it too early?
No. Today, what's commonly used for detecting prostate cancer is first through PSA blood test. These tests look for individuals with high PSA reading. Approximately all men over 50 are at risk. And the next step is often an exam by a physician. That may include ultrasound, which is a commonly used technique where sound waves are bounced off of the gland and an image is produced, but it can't see the difference between cancerous tissue and benign or other types of tissue. What this offers is the capability to be able to distinguish between the two. The way it actually works, like in all nuclear medical imaging, is a radioactive tracer is inserted into the body. Generally, it's injected into the blood. And that tracer is accumulated in specific regions with disease. The camera that we have actually captures the radiation that's emitted from these radioactive tracers and can produce an image. So that's essentially how this works, and it's the same type of image that's important, whether or not it is a diseased area within some organ of the human body, or if it is fissile material that could form the heart of a nuclear weapon. And that's why this technology has application in both of these spaces, because of that ability to produce an image of radiological materials.
So it could actually usurp things like ultrasounds and MRIs, things like that, depending on the application for it.
Yes. There are conventional gamma cameras that exist today, but they have lower spatial resolution. This particular compact gamma camera has approximately 5 to 10 times the spatial resolution of these existing scintillation-based gamma cameras. Some of the other imaging modalities, such as ultrasound, are widely used today. There's roughly 1.5 million scans using ultrasound for looking at prostate cancer every year in the U.S. alone. That gives you an idea of how big this problem is, with 1 in 6 men that will develop this disease over their lifetime, and 1 in 35 will die from the disease. So we need better imaging technologies. The ultrasound that's widely used has some significant shortcomings that we are working to address, and this technology is well on its way to addressing those problems and will displace some of the current techniques that are used today.